Generally, before Pesach, we always talk about bedikas chametz in the dormitories. But this year, of course, the situation is a little bit different. We can't even get to the dormitories. So the first question that we have when it comes to preparing for Pesach is what to do with any chametz that we left in the dormitories. So I think the answer is that we have to sell that chametz. If a person knows that he left chametz in the dormitories, or if he has a suffix whether he left chametz in the dormitories, so then he has to do a mechira on that chametz. And don't assume that just because we can't get to the dormitory, that that's like the case of chametz shenafla lav mapoles, like the Gemara talks about in the second parak in Psachim, that if the house caves in and you can't get to the chametz, so then you don't have to be bodek, you don't have to be mevayer. It's like the chametz doesn't exist. I don't think that's a good comparison, because physically you can get to the chametz in the dormitory, it's just they're not going to allow you to do it. But if you, you know, since you physically could get to it, and you do own the chametz, so then that's going to be a problem. I saw Rabbi Schechter had another few tshuvas that he came out with this morning, and he addresses the question. Someone asked him, but it's a davar she'eino b'rishuso. It's something that you don't have control over. And according to some shittas in the Rishonim, even if I own the item, it's not like gzela. I own the item, but if it's avud, if it's lost from me, I have no way of getting to it. So that's called a davar she'eino b'rishuso. So how can I sell that to the goy if it's eino b'rishuso? Rabbi Schechter wanted to say that that's not eino b'rishuso. That's a davar b'rishuso. It's like a pikadon. You know, if I give a pikadon to someone, and let's say he goes out of town, so I can't get to it right now. When he comes home, he'll be happy to give it to me. I can't get to it right now, but we don't consider that as being eino b'rishuso. It is b'rishuso. So right now, physically, he can't get to it, but the shomer is perfectly happy to give him the item, and it belongs to him. And at a certain point in time, he will be able to get to it. Aveda is a totally different situation. It's that he doesn't even know where it is. So if you don't know where it is, then it's eino b'rishuso. According to some Rishonim, you can't sell that to someone else. But here, of course it's a davar she'b'rishuso, because you can get to it, ultimately. It's just right now you can't get to it. So right now, just because you can't get to it right now, doesn't make it a davar she'eino b'rishuso. So it would be appropriate to sell all of the chametz that you have in the dormitory to the non-Jew. And in fact, you can rent your makom. It's a very common thing that if a person doesn't want to check in a particular makom, so he just rents the makom out. Let's say a person is going to his in-laws or to his parents for the whole Yom Tov. So you can rent your whole apartment to the guy, you can sell the whole apartment. Aye, but you're only renting from someone else, and it says in the contract that you can't sublease the apartment. That's not a problem, because this type of religious sublease is not included in the contract. You're allowed to do this. You're basically subleasing it to the guy. You're subleasing the chametz and the makom that the chametz is in, and there's no halachic problem. It's not, the person who is renting the apartment to you doesn't have any problem with you doing this. So therefore, it's mutter to do. And the people do this. That obviates the need to do a bedikas chametz in that makom. So we could do the same thing over here. We can rent or sell, sublease the dormitory, our makom in the dormitory, or our apartment, if you can't get to your apartment. You can sublease your apartment with all the chametz inside and give that to the goy as part of the mechiras chametz. The only extra prat to keep in mind is that the Mishnah Berurah, at the end of Siman Tov Lamed Vav, quotes Machlokas Achronim, if a person sells his apartment to the goy only on the 14th, after the night of Bedikas Chametz, does that sale work? Do we assume that the mechira is like a bir chametz? Look, a person does bedikas chametz the night of the 14th, and he leaves over certain chametz that he's going to burn the next day. So should we assume that mechira is dino kabir and everything is fine? You can do bir chametz on the day of the 14th erev Pesach. You can sell your whole apartment to the guy erev Pesach. What's the problem? That's one way to look at it. Well, the other way to look at it is no, that if you own the apartment, if you own the bias Erev Pesach at night, the night of the 14th, and you have a chovas bedika on that makom. If you have a chovas bedika on that makom, selling the makom the next day is not going to exempt you from that chovas bedika. That's a shaila in the achronim. So the simple way to solve the problem is to do mechira on the 13th, not the 14th. Those people who are going away for Yom Tov, you know, in a typical year, they're going to a hotel, they're going away, or people who want to sell their makom, they want to sell a dormitory, they want to sell an apartment, and they're going away. So it's recommended that they be on the Mechira of Yud Gimel, of the 13th of Nisan. Not the Mechira Yud Dalet, but rather on the Mechira Yud Gimel. So it's the same thing in this year, even though even though people are not going away to a hotel, unfortunately, we can't do that. But for those individuals who have to sell their makom, who have to sell their dormitories or their apartments, and they're going to be by their parents, they're going to be away for Yom Tov, it's better to do that on the 13th. Most of the Rabbanim have two mechiros. They have one for the 14th, one for the 13th. If you sell the makom before the 13th, then there's no chiyuv bedika on that makom. So if you'll be home, let's say, you'll be yotze the chovas bedika in your room. In your room, you'll be bodek. You'll be bodek in your room, as we'll describe in a moment. And you'll be yotze Yochovas Bedika in your room. But you don't have to be yotze Yochovas Bedika in the dormitory or in your apartment in Washington Heights. You can be on the Mechira, Yud Gimel, and then there won't be Yochovas Bedika on that Makom Bichlam. That's the best thing for a person to do. Questions? Aaron?
If I want to rent or sell my room, would my roommate and I both have to do it, or does one of us suffice?
As long as one of you allows the other one to do it, b'shlichus, so it's the same thing as the Rav. We're going to talk about soon that this year we can't actually have a Kabbalah's Kinyan. We can't pick up a handkerchief to demonstrate our full Gemiras Das, that the Rav should be able to sell our Chametz, but you can do it via Zoom video conferencing, or you can do it over the phone. That's also okay. So if you call up your roommate and you say, I want to sell the room, so which one of us is going to do it? So if the roommate says, you can do it, so just have the roommate tell you that any chametz that he has, he gives you the right, b'lev shalem, right? He gives you the right, b'lev shalem, to sell that to the Rav. To sell that to the Rav that you want. Or the truth is, he can do it separately. You can do it to your Rav and he can do it to his Rav. Whatever chelek each one of you has in the apartment or in the dormitory, you are subleasing to the guy. So if you're shutfim, then you can sublease your shutfis, your chelek, to the guy for your Rav, and he can do it for his Rav. You don't even have to do it together. You don't even have to do it together. If you're doing bedikas chametz, so then you have to do it for the other person, but if each one is selling their particular chametz and the shutfis that they have in the dorm room, that's sufficient. Another question? I saw another hand up. Jacob?
Can this be done with one of my rebbeim in L.A., or does it have to be with someone who's selling to someone in New York? Because likely someone in L.A. wouldn't be going to actually to my apartment in New York.
I think it's okay. I think it doesn't matter where the person is, because he can always ask someone who lives in that area to take the chametz from the makom. He knows people in Washington Heights, and he can get them to access the chametz. So even though the chametz technically is not really accessible at all, but it is accessible enough, right? It's accessible enough that he decides to go through with the mechira, so then the mechira is taka valid. Okay, any more? Yes, Morty?
Is this like a
nefashos
to go to that place?
It's not a suffix nefashos to go into the dormitory. It's not. It just out of an abundance of caution, yeshiva doesn't want. It's not only an abundance of caution. Yeshiva doesn't want to keep a guard in the dormitory. It's not like it's sakaras nefashos. The dormitory has been quarantined for 2 weeks already. So I don't think it's a suffix nefashos in the dormitory. It's just if they were to allow everyone to go into the dormitory, it could turn into a suffix nefashos if everyone with the coronavirus are going to come. You know, if they're going to be, it's going to be a crowd, and we don't know who has the virus, who doesn't have the virus, chalila. So then there might be a suffix nefashos. But there's no suffix nefashos going into the dormitory. So I think it is accessible. And that's why I think there's a chiyuv to sell. Okay. Well, many people are going to be home for Pesach for the first time this year, so let's just review some basic ideas of Bedikas Chametz, and they're going to relate to us as well, to our situations too. We know the mission at the beginning of Pesachim says that a person has to have Bedika and Bir, right? He has to be Bodikas Chametz, and he has to destroy any Chametz from his Rishus. We actually do Bedika and Bittel, right? We do Bedika, and then we're Meva'er, anything that we find in the Bedika, and we also do Bittel Chametz, that we say that all the Chametz should be Ka'afra Da'ara. What's the idea? Why do we need both? So we need Bittel, even though we're doing Bedika, we're finding all the Chametz, so what's the purpose of the Bittel? Because maybe we won't find everything. And if we don't find everything, so that would be a problem. Right? If we don't find everything, so then we're only destroying the Chametz that we found, but we have Chametz in our possession, and you're not allowed to have Chametz in your possession of a Pesach. So therefore, we're mevatel the Chametz, so that it's devalued. It's as if we don't have Chametz in our possession over Pesach. And if we did Bittel, that wouldn't be enough. Bittel alone is not enough, because without Bedika, we're afraid that you might find Chametz over Pesach, and you'll forget it's Pesach, and you might come to eat it. So therefore, we do Bedika as well, to get rid of the Chametz, so that you're not going to have it in your Rishus, and you're not going to come to eat it. What are we looking for in the Bedika? So we're looking not for crumbs. It's very nice to vacuum the apartment and to do spring cleaning and make sure everything is clean, but that's not cleaning for chametz. Cleaning for chametz is you might find something chashuv, Right? Some poskim say that you're looking for a kezias. Other poskim say that you're looking for any davar choshev, a cheerio, a small pretzel, anything that might be a davar choshev that you might come to eat. That's what we're looking for. Especially in these times, it's better not to engage in spring cleaning. Everyone is under a lot of stress. People are very anxious. Let's focus on looking for the chametz and cleaning out the chametz from our possession to be yotzei kedasu kedin, the idea of bidikas chametz. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for chametz. You're not looking for crumbs. Where do we have to be botik? So the Gemara says that only mokom shemachnisim bo chametz. The Mishnah actually says this. Mokom shemachnisim bo chametz, a place where people normally would bring chametz. If a person never brings chametz into his bedroom, there are such people that they never bring chametz into their bedroom. Then there's no chiv to be botik for chametz that you don't have to clean out. It's nice to arrange your drawers again, but you don't have to clean out anything if you never, ever, ever bring chametz there. If you do bring chametz there, so then there's a problem. Right? That's the Mishnah. The first Mishnah of Psachim talks about that the Martef, there are certain parts of the wine cellar that you have to be bodek, because sometimes the shamash who goes to get another bottle of wine in the middle of the meal is chewing on a sandwich, and he'll bring chametz into the Martef, and that's going to be a problem. So it's only Mokom Shemachnis and Bo Chametz. Now, if a person has an area that he doesn't want to clean, let's say it's too hard to clean that area. So it's very simple. He can close off the area. Put a siman, put a piece of tape, some painter's tape. We don't want to ruin any cabinets over here. So put a painter's tape or put some string over the handles of the door, and he doesn't have to check the place at all. He can sell that with the chametz. Just like you can sell your whole apartment, you can sell closets, you can sell cabinets, you can sell a liquor closet or a section of the garage, or even cabinets in the kitchen. There are some cabinets people use and some cabinets they don't use. So if you're not using certain cabinets because you have the chametz tikka kalim in there, or you might have chametz ba'endi, you might have real chametz, so just close it off. If you close it off and you put a siman on it not to touch that area, then there's no problem, there's no need to clean up in that place at all. But areas that you are going to use, then you should wipe down and you should clean up, make sure that you don't have any chametz, any Cheerios or any pretzels or any chametz that you might come to eat over Yom Tov. It's important to clean out suit pockets and coat pockets and computer bags and briefcases. These are places that sometimes a person, you know, he'll go off to study in the library and he'll take a cookie or something. He'll take mezainis. You know, there are parts of the library that you're allowed to eat in and parts that you're not allowed to eat in. But people often will go to study outside of their dorm room, outside of their apartment, and they'll take chametz with them. Sometimes a person will be at an ufraf, he'll be at a simcha, and he'll put something in his pocket to take home. He'll put a cookie in his pocket to take home for his younger brother. You know, and he'll forget that the cookie is there. So it's important to look in the suit pockets or in the coats to make sure that you don't have any chametz over there. One shaila that came up this year, Rebbe Schechter had a whole tshuva about this, is what to do about kalim. There are people who are making Pesach for the first time, and they have to buy a lot of new kalim. They didn't even have the kalim for Pesach. So there's a problem of tevilas kalim, that you have to be tovel kalim before you use them for the first time. The halacha of tevilas kalim applies only to glass and to metal kalim. I should actually have said to metal and to glass. Metal might be daraisa. Glass is definitely only Rabbanan. But glass, there's a chiyuv of tevilas kelim in glass as well, with a bracha. Some people say that they've gone to mikvahs, but there are signs up saying that, you know, for metal, make a bracha, for glass, don't make a bracha. That's absolutely incorrect. Maybe there's one shita that might say such a thing, but we don't paskin like that in Shulchan Aruch at all. That's not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. We assume, even if there's a chiyuv only with Rabbanan to be tovel glass, but it's a mitzvah Rabbanan, and a mitzvah Rabbanan, we make brachas. Make a bracha on Mikra Megillah, you make a bracha on Ner Chanukah, there's no difference over here. So you should make a bracha on Tfilas Kalim of glass as well. But for Cheres, earthenware we don't make a bracha on. Earthenware we're not Tovel. Klei Cheres don't require Tvila, not a bracha. Klei Cheres do not require Tvila. Only Mateches, because the Parsha and Parshas Matos, Parsha of Tfilas Kalim and Parshas Matos only mentions Mateches. But Chazal say, based on the Gemara and Shabbos in the first parak, Daf Yomi just did this a couple of weeks ago, a week and a half ago, that Chazal say that since glass is like metal, that if it breaks, you can melt it back together. So therefore, it has a status of metal. But Cheres is different. Cheres is not metal. So therefore, there's no Chiv of Tvilas Kalim at all for Cheres. Let's say a person is afraid to go to the mikveh, right? With the coronavirus around, we're afraid. We don't want to spread disease, spread germs, or maybe there might be germs in the mikveh. So what does one do? So Rabbi Schechter had a number of different suggestions. I'll just mention one of them. He suggested that maybe you should sell your kelim to the goy together with the mechiras chametz. Normally, we don't sell kelim to the goy because there's no problem owning the blia of chametz inside the kelim. You can own the blia. You're not allowed to own chametz be'en, but you're allowed tarovas chametz, but you're allowed to own the blia inside the kelim. So we don't sell the kelim because, in fact, if you sell the kelim, it's going to be a problem. If you sell the kelim, you'll have to do a tefilas kelim after Yom Tov. So that's a big problem. We don't want to have to be tovelar kelim. So normally, we don't sell the kelim. But this year, there's a chiyuv tefilas kelim on the new kelim that you buy. So if you sell the kelim to the guy, that obviates the problem of tefilas kelim. There's no problem of chametz in the kelim, they're brand new kelim. But if you sell them to the guy, that will obviate the problem of tefilas kelim, the need for tefilas kelim. But you just have to be careful that when you buy the chametz back from the guy, you don't buy the kelim yet. Only buy the kelim back when you can go to the mikveh. Because as long as we can't go to the mikveh, then you're not allowed to use those kelim. Even one time you can't use the kelim. So be careful to buy back only the chametz from the guy, not to buy back the kelim until it's safe to go to the mikveh, and then you'll buy back the kelim and take the kelim to the mikveh. Okay, so how do we do mechiras chametz? This might be relevant to you as well, because you might have to be mitzarif, you might have to combine with your father's mechira. So normally we do have a kabbalas kinyan, as I mentioned. The Rambam doesn't mention anything about a kabbalas kinyan when a person appoints a shliach. Keep in mind, you're not selling the chametz to the rav, you're only appointing him as a shliach to sell the chametz to the guy. Now, someone was talking to me, he says, well, you know, when I sell the chametz to the rav, I said, you're not selling your chametz to the rav. The rav is just a shliach, it's a minui shlichus, that's all it is. And the Rambam seems to say that there's no inyan of kinyan. Kabbalah's kinyan is to pick up a handkerchief. Some people who go, if you come early to a chasana, you'll see at the chasana's tish, there are two Kabbalah's kinyan. We pick up a handkerchief, the chasan picks up the handkerchief to be meshabed himself to everything in the ksuba. So, what's the purpose of that Kabbalah's kinyan? Well, the rav, or the edim, are makabel kinyan from the chasan on behalf of the kala. That the chasan is meshabed himself to the kala. Right? So, Kabbalah's kinyan is a kinyan sudder, that you can be kone with a sudder. Here, the rav is not really being kone anything, but what's happening is you're showing gemiras das, you're showing a full intent to appoint the rav to be your agent to sell the chametz to the guy. You show that intent by picking up the pen or the handkerchief of the rav, right? By picking up the handkerchief of the rav, you are showing that you want to be moser, that ability to sell the chametz to the guy. But you're not actually selling the chametz to the guy. In fact, the Chazanish and the Stipler claim that even in a regular year, there's no inyan to have a Kabbalah's kinyan bichlal. Because you're only doing a minu shlichas here. You're not actually selling the chametz to the guy. But our minig is to do the Kabbalah's kinyan, because, you know, the whole mechiras chametz is just a harama ba'alma, so we're afraid people are not going to take it seriously. So therefore, the minig developed that we do a Kabbalah's kinyan. Rabbi Schechter in the Sefer Nefesh HaRav, long before the coronavirus, so he quoted from the Rav that, let's say a person forgot to do the Kabbalah's kinyan with the Rav, he forgot to do mechiras chametz until he goes off to the hotel. So what's he supposed to do? Go home? So the Rav said no, he can call up the Rav on the phone. He doesn't have to do a Kabbalah's kinyan, but rather he should do something on the phone that demonstrates that he has a full gemiras das. He should tell the Rav, I'm giving you the ability, belev sholem. He should say, befet, say verbally, that he's giving the Rav belev sholem, the full, with full intent, he's giving the Rav the ability to sell the chametz to the guy. And if he does that, that should be sufficient. That's sufficient. You don't actually need the kinyan to demonstrate a full gemiras das. Now, this idea of not having a kinyan, that's only true for the minhag shlichus. The rav, whichever rav is selling the chametz to the guy, he is going to be there with the guy. They have to find a guy who can do the kinyan, and that we're not afraid there'll be a problem with the coronavirus. There'll be proper social distancing. I don't know exactly how they're going to do it. But you can't do the kinyanim via video conference. You actually have to be there. There are multiple kinyanim that we do with a guy. And you really have to be there to do a full kinyan with the guy. But that's the Rav's issue. That's not your issue. For you, it's enough just to have, for you or for your parents, it's enough just to appoint the Rav on the phone or via video conference to appoint him as your shliach to sell the chametz. This year, there's an extra kula that some of the rabbanim have said might exist. Yes, Michael.
Rabbi, if one is going back to their apartment briefly to grab things, should they do a bedika right now?
It's not necessary. If you don't want to do a bedika, you don't have to. because, I mean, even if you're running back now, we really do a Bedikas Chametz only at night. So it's normally your last night that you're going to be in the dormitory. I imagine you're not going to be there at night. So if you're just running back to get a couple of things and you're not going to do a Bedikah, I mean, again, if you know that you don't have any Chametz in the dormitory, there's nothing to sell. But if you brought Chametz into the dormitory and you want to make sure, you know, you want to make sure that nothing is there, it's much more relevant for people in apartments because it's we have many more rooms. So, you know, we're more concerned that maybe you'll have Chametz somewhere. But I wouldn't do Bedikah now. You really should only do Bedikah at night. I would just sell the apartment or sell the dormitory and that's sufficient. That's the easier thing to do. Okay? Okay. There are many different minhagim. Another question? Okay. There are different minhagim that people have when it comes to mechiras chametz. Some actually are machmer to only sell ta'aroves chametz, mixtures of chametz. Something that has a little chametz inside of it. But it's not chametz be'en. Not actual solid chametz. You know, if you have a soup, let's say, that has a barley in it, so that's chametz be'en, even though there's soup, but you can see the barley. I'm talking about that you have chametz mixed in that's not perceptible. It's just a tarovas, it's just a mixture. So some only sell tarovas of chametz. They don't sell chametz be'en. Chametz gomer, what we call. Chametz gomer. Like cereals. Cereals are chametz gomer, right? Flour. Flour is chametz gomer. Flour? Why should that be chametz at all? The answer is because the way that they make flour nowadays, they bleach the flour. So all of our flour is mamish chametz gomer, even before you bake anything, even before you bake the challah. When they make flour for matzah, so they have to be shomer that flour. Mishas tchina, from the time of the grinding, from the time of the lisha, from the time of the kneading, and we're machmer even to be shomer from the shas ktsira. But all that doesn't apply. That doesn't happen by regular flour. So flour is chametz gomer. You should be careful. Some people, even people who sell chametz gomer, they think, oh, I don't have to sell my flour because that's not chametz. No, it's absolute chametz gomer. So for those who are machmir not to sell chametz gomer, they actually don't sell flour every year. The question is this year, is there any room to be mekel? Right? Obviously, chametz gomer is more chamur than tarovas chametz. That's why those who don't sell chametz, who don't sell chametz gomer, then machmer only in chametz gomer. You should know the exception to the rule is that liquor, most people are a mekel when it comes to liquor, because that's a hefsid meruba. So even people who normally don't sell chametz gomer, like challah and like pasta and cereals and whatnot, they will sell liquor, because that's a hefsid meruba. So they're willing to be mekel. But this year, it's a lot harder for people because there are those that are concerned that you're not going to be able to get chametz after Pesach. Why? Because there's going to be a run on the chametz, and there are going to be a lot of people in the stores, and social distancing is going to require that people have to stay away from each other. So there's a real concern that you're not going to be able to get chametz after Pesach. So some of the Rabbanim have suggested that maybe this year, a person can be mekel for his minig, the minig that he normally has, not to sell chametz gomer. Maybe this year he can be mekel, that he can even sell chametz gomer, and perhaps even to buy chametz before Yom Tov, and he'll sell that chametz. Buy chametz, sell the chametz, and then you'll have less of a problem after Yom Tov with the chametz. So that's a cool that perhaps there is room to be mekel with this year because of the difficulty that we have with the chametz. Okay. There are a few more issues that are special to this year that I want to mention, and then we'll talk about more general issues. The night of Bedikas Chametz. Right, the night of Bedikas Chametz. So we make a bracha shekel shana b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu al bir chametz. That's the bracha on Bedikas Chametz, because bir chametz is the gemar of the mitzvah. So we make a bracha on bir chametz, and then we go and we're bodek. The chiyuv is on the balabais, but the balabais can assign different people to be bodek different rooms. So that's what I suggest. I think that's a wonderful idea, that the balabais should assign you, or assign a married sibling to be bodek their room. That's what I commonly do whenever I have married children by me, Erev Pesach. So I'll make the bracha on Bedikas Chametz, and then I'll tell each couple that they should be bodek their room downstairs. They should be bodek themselves. I'm not going to go into their room anyway. And they're yotze, they're chiyuv Bedikas Chametz. They can be yotze with my bracha, but they're yotze, they're chiyuv of Bedikas Chametz by being bodek in their room. Now, there's an old minig to set out 10 pieces of bread for Bedikas Chametz. What's the purpose of that? So there are two reasons given. One is that we set out something so that the balabayas takes the bedika seriously. If he doesn't know if he's going to find anything, and then he doesn't find something, so maybe he's not going to be bodek properly. So we put out the challah so that he knows, I have to check well, because until he finds the piece of challah, he still has to check. So that's one thing, that in order that the Baal Bais take the Bedikah seriously, we put out the 10 pieces of challah. The other reason that's given in the poskim is since the Baal Bais makes a bracha, we're afraid it'll be a bracha levatola if he doesn't find anything. He was bodik, but he didn't find anything, so then the bracha is a bracha levatola. So I think this year, because there's going to be a problem with the beer chametz, that if we have so much chametz left over that we hid as part of the process of bedikas chametz, we'll have a problem with the beer, as I'm going to describe in just a moment. I think it's probably better this year to put out in one place, to put out a kazayis. Take a piece of bread and put out that kazayis of bread. But I think in the other places, in the other rooms in the home, maybe you could put out smaller pieces. You don't have to put out a kazayis. According to some poskim, the chiyuv of bedikas chametz is not just on a kazayis; it's on any davar chashuv. So you could put out a little. You put out a Cheerio, or put out a piece, a little pretzel. Because if the goal is that it shouldn't be bracha levatola, so one piece is enough. If the goal is that the person should take it seriously, so even if you don't have a big piece, he still is going to take it seriously until he finds all the little pieces that you've put out. So I think it's probably better to do that so that you won't have a problem of having too much left over, too much chametz left over after the bedikas chametz. What do I mean that we're going to have too much left over and it'll be hard for the beer chametz? So this year, we can't burn the chametz Erev Pesach. We can't burn it publicly. There are going to be no public burnings. And even for each individual to burn in his backyard, I don't think it's a good idea. The police department, the fire department, are not going to be happy if we do that. Because if everyone is going to do that in his backyard, then there's a chashash, there's a real fire hazard, that someone is not going to be watching the fire, and it could be someone is going to get hurt, or they'll start a fire. So I think it's going to be banned. I think any outside burnings are going to be banned. So what's a person to do? You can't fulfill the mitzvah of bir chametz b'sreifa. So the answer is, Rabbi Yehuda is machmir, in the Mishnah, that ain't bir chametz ala sreifa. But the chachamim de Rabbi Yehuda hold that hashbas also b'chol davar. You can destroy the chametz with anything. Af mefarev v'zore laruach. You can even crumble up the chametz and throw it out to the wind. So this year, we'll have to be makel for shitas chachamim. It's a shayla whom to paskin like, and we're machmir that we try to do bir chametz with sreifa, but this year you can't do it. They say you can't do it, so how should you do bir chametz? Rabbi Shachter wanted to suggest that maybe you should do bir chametz in the toilet. That you should take a piece of bread and flush it down the toilet. That's certainly no worse than matel layam, than putting it into the ocean. So flush it down the toilet and that should be sufficient. So that's good if you have one piece of bread, you can break up the piece of bread into a few smaller pieces and you'll put that down the toilet. But if you have 10 pieces of bread, you know, I'm more concerned that you're going to stuff up the toilet and you'll have problems later. I don't think it's necessary. Right? It's as long as you have a few smaller pieces, you have one large piece that's a kazayas, you'll break up that piece, be careful not to get the crumbs on the floor, even though technically speaking it's batel, but try to get all the pieces into the toilet. And the smaller pieces you'll throw into the toilet. And then whatever paper bags you were storing that bread in, you throw it into the garbage and that's sufficient. You'll throw that into the garbage, you mafkir the bags and whatever chametz is still in the bags, and that should be sufficient in order to be out to the mitzvah of bir chametz. Many people have the minig not to eat gebrux, not to eat any matzah that is mixed with water, right? And it's they have to have, you know, they don't make things with matzah meal. They only make products with potato starch. So some, depending on where a person is located, if he's unable to get non-gebrux food, or let's say in some circumstance, he has to eat kidneys. So again, these are minhagim. Some minhagim. So a person should ask a shayla whether he can be mekel and he can eat gebrux, even if he normally doesn't eat gebrux. He doesn't mix the matzah with the liquid. Or kidneys, if there's an extenuating circumstance that a person finds himself in, he should ask a shayla, because it could be that this minig as well, in these circumstances, perhaps can be pushed aside for this year. Rabbi Shechter wrote a tshuva where he suggested that you don't even have to be matir neder on a minhig of this sort that you had in a previous year. Why? Because it's understood when you took the neder to begin with, or if it's a minhig of your kehila, a minhig of your mishpacha, that when that minhig was started, that in a case of sakana, in a difficult shas adchak, an extenuating circumstance, no one wanted to accept that minhig upon themselves to begin with. So because mitchila, there was no das noder, there's no das to accept the minhig upon oneself, then included within the minhig from the beginning is that it's mutter to break the minhig this year. So if a person is doing it because it's a shasat chak, it's a difficult circumstance, so then he's not going against the minig. That's included within that minig, so that would be okay. That would be okay. But a person should ask a shayla. I'm not saying that there's carte blanche to be makel on just about everything. I'm not saying that. Certainly, in yoni chametz, one shouldn't be makel on. But minhagim, gebrachs, and kidneys, and other things, one should ask a shayla if they feel that their circumstances warrant perhaps that they should be able to be makel this year. Many have a minig to use shmur matzah a whole Yom Tov. So that's another minig that perhaps we don't have to be machmer for this year. Even if you were machmer in the past, but you don't have to be machmer for because it's very difficult to do that. How about the shmur matzah for the Seder night? Forget about whether you'll be machmer the whole Yom Tov. But what do we use for shmur matzah? So many are machmer to use hand shmur, dafka hand shmur. Some say it's not a chumra, it's a kula, right? Because machine shmura, there's less of a concern that it'll be chametz. It's a shaila in the poskim. But be that as it may, some have a minig to use hand shmura. This year, you might find it more difficult to get the hand shmura. So, it's probably fine to use the machine shmura. I think it's. I think this year, one can be mekel to use machine shmura if they can't get the hand shmura. Because machine shmura is also considered lishma, it's a shaila whether it's considered lishma because it's done by machine and a person simply presses the button. He's not actually involved in the process. But most poskim assume that it is considered lishma, so therefore, even if you can only get machine shmura, one can be makel for that this year and use that even for the seder, even for the matzah's mitzvah, for the motzi matzah and for the korech. If a person is really in a bind, I mean, the best thing is you should go shopping for the matzah today. Go shopping for the matzah a week before Pesach. Don't wait till next week. But, I mean, now there is matzah in the stores. I went shopping last week for matzah, and there was no problem. I was able to get hand shmura. There probably should be enough shmura matzah, because the reality is the matzah was baked before the coronavirus struck. So, I would imagine all those companies that bake matzah want to sell their matzah, because they spent a lot of time on that, and that matzah is useless after Pesach. So I would imagine there's going to be enough hand shmura and enough machine shmura, it should not be a problem. But just in case a person is in a far-flung area, he's in a community where he can't get hand shmura, he can't get machine shmura, b'di'eved, he can be yotzei, the mitzvah of matzah, even with what's called matzah pshuta, 18-minute matzahs. Because 18-minute matzahs, they say it's not shmura. That just means that it's not shmura mishas k'tzira. It's not shmura, they don't watch it from the time of the harvest, but they certainly watch it from the time that it's ground, that the wheat is ground, and from the time of the kneading. So it is shmura a little bit. It's not shmura mishas k'tzira, so there are rishonim who hold that you need shmura mishas k'tzira for matzah's mitzvah. But not everyone says that you need shmura mishas k'tzira. So if you can't get the hand shmura, if you can't get machine shmura, at least use the 18-minute pshutas, because that's shmura a little bit. It also has a din of shmura. It's shmura mishas tchina, it's shmura mishas lisha. Okay, one final note that's special to this year. Many have the minig on the Seder night that they say Hallel in Shul. In addition to the Hallel that we say at the Seder, they say Hallel in Shul. But the Shulchan Aruch is careful to point out, based on the Maseches Sofrim, that the Hallel that we say in Shul is dafka said b'tzibur in Shul. If someone, let's say, on a regular Pesach was not feeling well and he didn't go to Shul, he doesn't say Hallel b'yachidus at home. So we're going to find ourselves at home. We don't have minyana. We're not b'tzibur. Right, we're not b'tzibur. So we're not going to say that Hallel. We do not say Hallel at home. B'yachidus, even on the Seder night. Just say the Hallel as part of the Haggadah, as part of the Seder. But the Hallel that's normally said, for those who have that minig, it's a machlokas, the Mechaber Amor. So those who have a more chassidish event, or the Sfaradim, right, they follow the minig of the Mechaber, they do say Hallel in Shul on the Seder night, both nights on the Seder night. But Ashkenazim do not say Hallel on the first night. They follow the Ramah. They don't say Hallel on the Seder night. But even those who normally say Hallel, it's Dafka said Betzibur, we would not say that B'yachidus. Look, we should taka b'zoicha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept our Hallel that we'll say at the Seder. He should accept all of the mitzvahs that we do at the Seder, and all of our machshavis, for how much we want to come closer to Him, how much we want to come back to the Batei Knesios, Batei Midrashos. He should accept all of our tefillos, and He should bring us a Yeshua from this coronavirus crisis and from all of the other tzaras that we have. We should taka b'zocha to be able to be in Yerushalayim. We could be in Yerushalayim still this year. But if chalila, we're not able to make it over the next week and a half, if Mashiach doesn't come and we're not able to be there this year, we should be zocha that through all of our tefillos, we should come to Yerushalayim, we should be zocha to see Mashiach Tzidkenu this year, and we should come to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, l'shana abab Yerushalayim, habnuya, bimheira, v'yameinu, amen.